Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, energy healing, miracles, spiritual communication, and ways to develop greater soul awareness. Today I am most delighted to welcome Tara Janelle Walsh, author of Soul Courage, who tells us we have the potential to come alive in ways that can transform our life, bringing us from greater self-awareness to one of soul awareness, forever changing the way we view ourselves and the world. Hello, Tara Janelle, and thank you for joining us today.
Hi. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Okay. Tara Janelle, as listeners of Healing From Within have come to expect, my guests and I share our experiences and our awakening process, which is the natural outgrowth of self-investigation and a discovery of our intuitive soul nature, which allows us to master our emotional responses so we may function as the best version of ourselves. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Tara Janelle Walsh, who is the founder and spirit behind the Soulibrate Greeting Card Company and the Soul Socialize Personal Development Program, will share how building emotional awareness of the wonders of living soul first through a socialized process is worth the time and effort. And I love the word. Socialize.
I like how you sing it. You say socialize.
I want the people to hear it's not socialize. It's socialize.
Yes.
I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, a place or event, a dream, or a value that was very important to them and which may have shown them or others around them the life path or destiny that was calling to them, because I believe we are born with a soul plan and basically here to refine our soul essence. And I also believe the physical world gives us many opportunities to do just that. So think back for a minute, travel back to an earlier time.
You know, I probably would say something that I shared in my book, which was what I call, you know, the gift of a lifetime, because it's one of my earlier memories that I remember shifting from just, I mean, it wasn't my awakening, my, like, you know, kick into consciousness or anything. I was still young. But I'm speaking of the story of whenever I would cry or just respond or react immediately to something, you know, like be angry or cry or whatever, like children do and like a lot of adults do and presidents. And when I would react, you know, sporadically with tears or so forth, my mom at that point would send me to my room. Now, I used to think, gosh, that's the meanest thing ever, you know, stomp my feet up the stairs and get even more, you know, hurt, feeling just abandoned. But what, you know, she said, you know, go up to your room and think about why you are crying. Why are you crying? You know, calm down if you even want, write about it. And so I began to write and journal and, you know, soon had a diary that I went to. But what that showed me was that it just gave me time to reflect on what it was I was feeling, rather than just not being aware of that at all and just reacting, you know, all through life, just crying or being angry or being whatever the millions of emotions that we have, you know. But so it trained me in a way, you know, because this happened way more than once. there was a quote training every time I got sent to the room. And I now do that with myself, and I don't send myself to my room. I actually look at it as a gift, and I have trained myself to live in a way where I give myself what I call solitude, allow myself some solitude to do some inner reflection and really feel into and identify what is going on inside.
Absolutely.
So,
you know, Tara Janelle, I was also a very sensitive child, and there was a lot of crying going on, and my mother, like yours, handled it very much the same way. What she did was let me lie on the ground and go through it. She didn't come over and try to pick me up and stop me. And she let me work through whatever it was I was feeling or needed to do by myself. And I guess we were very fortunate to have parents like that did that. And you wrote something about your younger years, and I liked it very much, so I'd like to read it to our audience. For much of our younger years, it seems that we all stumble along, thinking that life is about how much we have, what we look like, and who is on our arm. We're caught in the day-to-day patterns of unconscious living, thinking that life is about what we are doing. That is until something happens in our life, usually a major loss or great love, that cracks us wide open, and we start thinking and feeling in a new way. Now, of course, this is an awakening and a remembrance of our inner soul essence. And I would say, as children, you and I were aware that we were very much more than our physical life, and what people were telling us was the way we should react. I would say that was so, and it is so for a lot of children and young adults. But let's go on to, what is soul courage, the title of your book, and how can we begin to obtain it?
Well, soul courage is having a deep loyalty to who you really are, and then being brave enough to live from that place. Of course, that requires us to all take a look at, who am I?
Absolutely.
Who am I? And not to just say, well, I'm a woman in my middle, a middle-aged woman that is, not that, but like really in the deeper sense. And I'm sure all your listeners, are past that, and at the level that I'm discussing. But who am I and why am I here? And that's how I start the book, and I start it for that very reason, because those are essential questions that I think that we all at some point hopefully ask ourselves or should before we leave our bodies. And I talk about the moment of life's most important realization, and you mentioned that as children, some of us are aware that there's more going on, but sometimes we aren't even aware that we're aware. But for most of us, hopefully, there is that moment when we reach a level of awareness that calls us to privately ask ourselves these questions. Who am I? And why am I here on this planet? And when we realize all of that, we ask ourselves those questions, we come to know that we're not our bodies, we're not our minds, and we understand that we're a soul living in the vehicle of our body so that we can have the experience of everything that we know conceptually on a soul level. That's what I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and you wrote this in reference to what you're saying here. We are very much more than our body. Our essence and our real life force is our soul and our potential for that to be refined in this lifetime. And you wrote this in reference to that. Some say the human body is a vehicle for the soul, that each of us is a soul that has a body, a spiritual being that has become physical. I agree with that. And all of us, and if all of us believed just that, we would have to question life at the deepest level regarding love, religion, sex, politics, all of it. We'd have to question ourselves at the deepest level. Our reason for existence would be shaken up so vigorously that the coordinates of our current understanding would change entirely. And that's what's happening in the world right now. All these world events and difficult challenges that humanity is facing is part of this spiritual evolution, and the way that we can, as soul beings, rise to a higher level of awareness and consciousness. So I think everybody reaches a point when they ask that question. But then some people, unfortunately, are too afraid to go too far with it. So we're here to tell you that it's probably the greatest thing you're going to ever discover.
That's
and,
right.
And once you do, nobody can take you backwards. It's only forward.
But,
and enjoy and,
having,
and positivity. Yeah. You have the truth.
Yeah. And not only asking those questions and finding your answers to them, because I'm sure everyone will have slightly different answers, but being loyal
to your understanding of those answers. That's what soul courage is about, being loyal to them in any and every moment, whether you're alone with people or whatever, and then being brave enough to, through that loyalty, being brave enough to live from that place of loyalty, speaking your truth, you know, just living from that place. And it's not easy. It can be scary. It can be difficult, because most of the time we have to actually feel our feelings when we live from that place. Well, and people aren't used to doing that.
No.
Surprisingly, on a conscious level.
Yeah, people are not used to change. And change is very valuable for the soul to experience what it has to. And you also say it's probably the most important pursuit we will ever embark on in life. And in my book, The Living Spirit, I sort of addressed it this way. The same way you felt and sensed. I believe that a well-balanced, healthy lifestyle requires being supported by supportive people and situations that enhance our positive thinking and produce positive results in our endeavors. Even when some forces may disrupt the flow of events, if we are working with the within the framework of spiritual or higher values, our choices will be wiser. Our recovery from tragedy will be faster, and we will have a chance for a better outcome and a more lasting impact on others. And I'm not suggesting that forces beyond our control, illness, loss of a loved one, a job, a home, a friend, or even loss of self due to doubt and fear are not difficult. But by shifting our perspective and acting from your heart impulses, that's also your soul impulse, we can make any setback into a positive force for change in our lives. So this is it. This is the important pursuit, and this is what we gain from it. But let's go on to, what do you mean by the moment of our life's most important realization?
Well, that's what I was just discussing. That, remember, as children, you say some of us are aware that we're more, but the most important realization is when our consciousness kicks into the level that we privately ask ourselves, who am I and why am I here? We know there's that moment where we all click over, that we suddenly get it. We go, I'm not my body. Oh my God, I'm not my mind. There's more going on here, you know?
Yes. I like the music. No, no, no.
I knew you'd like this. You were singing earlier.
All right. So life's most important realization, that life was created for us to complete the soul's agenda, not necessarily, you know, being always in the material world, although it's a very beautiful world and we can enjoy everything about it. We just simply can't forget that there's more going on. And you talk about the sacred formula. I love it. It's a very a good way for our listeners to find a way to delve deeply into their own soul essence, and when they feel themselves drifting away from it, to reconnect to this idea so that they can get back on track. Just like meditation, you know, if thoughts come in when you're meditating, you want to have something to help you get back into the flow and the alignment. So tell us about the sacred formula.
Well, I'll quickly skim over how I even got there. You know, I was talking about, as you mentioned earlier, you were reading a bit of the book, that a lot of us go through a really low point in our life where we suddenly bump into the whole life's most important realization. We get it. Things click in. My low moment was that I had a severe depression and an eating disorder for years on end, and I was hospitalized. And when I got out, the hospitalization didn't make me click over. I felt like I was still in a strange bubble. But when I got out of the hospital, I was entering the world in a new way. And it was a very raw and real and vulnerable experience for me, in such a way that I started feeling my feelings, and I was aware of it. I was aware of feeling my feelings, unlike most people, you know, in the world today. And I felt very courageous. This all ties in with the whole soul courage, because I realized a lot of what was going on. And I realized that, well, having soul courage and being courageous are different. You know, all of us have soul courage because we are all a soul. Soul encompasses the essence of all of life, I believe. But being courageous, you know, courage is like courage in hibernation. Being courageous is like waking it up. So I thought about, what am I doing differently now? Because I still had soul courage before when I was, quote, asleep, but it didn't feel the same. It wasn't activated. What am I doing differently? And I realized that I was conscious of feeling my feelings. And then I realized that I not only just felt them, I expressed them with consciousness and, you know, identifying what they were, like I was talking about when I was sent to my room and thinking about it and expressing them. And that when I did those things, when I felt and expressed my feelings, that there invariably was a connection almost every single time. I mean, I would just say every time, because there was always a connection with myself and with the universe or the God of my choice. And if there were people around, there was a deeper connection with the people. So that soon became what I now call the sacred formula. As simple as it is, it was profound for me. Feel,
and it is
express,
profound.
Connect.
Right. It is profound. I sometimes use the terms allow, accept, and surrender, which is similar in feeling. First, you have to recognize it and feel it. And then you have to allow yourself to be who you are authentically and express it. And then you have to connect to your life, yourself, to people, to the beauty of the world, and to spirit and the universe. And it's a very good formula that to remember, and it's simple enough to remember. Whenever you're getting lost and caught up in situations and the gossip and the outside world and the expectations of other people for you, to get back to who you really are. But in reality, seeking your own journey here and not to be intimidated by anybody else's. And by the way, when you talk about soul courage, when I saw the title of your book, many times in meditation I've had this feeling that I'm on a horse, like in Rome in olden days, and the horse is standing so poised and so in tune with me, and the courage that I feel of the oneness of being ready for anything in that moment, it's like your title, and I thought of it the minute I saw the title. It's something I have felt for a long time, and your title brought it to my mind again. So let's go on to, your father is Neil Donald Walsh, author of his newest book, I believe, The Complete Conversations with God, but I read his books many, many years ago when I was first starting on my own journey, and I almost got out to Oregon to an event he was having out there, but something else I was involved in, and I couldn't do it, but I really wanted to. Now, he is a prolific author and an icon in the field of metaphysics. How has he influenced your life and work?
You know, he's my hero on a spiritual realm. And, you know, I'm clear now that I chose him to be my father on a soul level.
Absolutely.
I know that. And he has opened my eyes to so much and reminded me so much. Notice I didn't say taught me, because I believe we all know, you know. We're just awake at different times. We awaken at different times, and there are different people who can remind us and tap into certain parts of us that remind us who we are and why we're here and so forth. So he left when I was a young girl. I was like two, a child. So I did not grow up with him. I knew him as daddy my whole life, but I never really got to know him until I was probably in my late teens. And then I was like, I had already kind of created my idea of what I thought the world was. So it was interesting to, now that I look back and reflect on it, now it's interesting to watch how it's like the glass ceiling just opened up, you know, when the closer I got to him and the more I remembered as he shared things with me, like, wow, oh my God, you're right, goosebump stuff. And now to this day, he lives 1 minute away from me.
Isn't that wonderful?
Right?
You know, people keep crossing our lives, relatives, family members, friends. It's like we're on, how can I say, a trajectory to do things for ourselves first and to learn more about ourselves first. And then we meet people at different junctures. And it's like taking a train ride, never knowing who's going to pop up and be important in that phase of your life. So I find it very interesting. And also, my first book was Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection, when I was first starting to be aware of some of these ideas, because even though I was born with that intuitiveness, I really didn't know I was using it all my life. It was just natural for me, and I really wasn't involved very much in thinking about some of these ideas. I was just living a very physical life. But I have a lot of coincidences with you. So let's start with, your name is most unusual, Tara Chanel. My older sister was Rodell, and my youngest sister, Suelle. And names I have discovered give us much clues about who we are and reflect our spiritual content, offering us information often about our life plan. You have a sister, Samantha, and my first granddaughter is Samantha. And also, also when I was beginning to delve deeply into my healing and mediumship work, I read your father's books, Conversations with God, and saw a film about him, and it really helped me to go forward into my own new way of life, raising my consciousness and leaving behind a great deal of debris and misguided thinking or beliefs that were given to me that weren't very appropriate at this point in my life. And life became much clearer. But then the funniest thing of all was in the book you mentioned the song, What's It All About, Alpha?
Right.
And I cannot tell you, and I don't know, maybe when I was in my 30s, how that song constantly sifted through my thoughts, and it floated through my mind and heart long before my transformation began. So there it was. There was the question, what were we looking for with that song? What were we looking for?
Right, more moments of understanding who we are and why we're here, of consciousness. You know, I remember seeing that as a joke whenever I would be just overwhelmed and and frustrated and not knowing. I would just put my hands up in the air and say, what's it all about? You know, people would laugh. But seriously, in my own private moments, I did ask myself, what the heck is it about? What's up here?
You know, when I retrieved it, mostly it was about a deep feeling of love and wanting more and wanting to give more and share more and not maybe knowing how to do it. But yeah, but there were times I think I might have sung it when it was a little confusing with what was going on around me or with other people. But I think that was a deep search for meaning and purposefulness in our lives, and love, sincerely love. Now, let's go on to, you talk about defaults and resistance techniques that we all sort of find happening to us, even when we're not aware that it's a technique or something stopping us from being comfortable within ourselves. So tell us something about that.
Well, when I, you know, discovered the sacred formula, feel, express, connect, I thought, gosh, this seems so simple. Why isn't everyone doing this? Why aren't we doing this more? Maybe subconsciously. Obviously, everyone's not aware of it put just that way, feel, express, connect. But why aren't we doing this naturally, innately? And I just took a look at myself, and I took a look around, and I said, oh, my God, I was not doing it innately because I was running to something to resist feeling. I'll start with the first part of the sacred formula. I wasn't allowing myself to feel, and as I mentioned earlier, I had an eating disorder for 7 years, and I ran to food so that I didn't have to feel. And there was a long time when I did not know what I was doing. But towards the end, I got a little bit onto myself, and I said, you are just numbing yourself out. And then I realized when I got out of the hospital, oh, my gosh, over half the world is doing what I was doing.
Everybody's,
maybe not with food.
Everyone is doing it in some form, numbing themselves
in some way.
Out because they are not ready or afraid to think about the depth of what we're talking about here. So those are the little tricks that people have to stop themselves from really getting into their emotions because they feel pain, and no one wants to feel pain. They only want to feel pleasure.
Right.
But you've got to work through every emotion. You don't have to hold it and embrace it, but you have to feel it. So that
That's right.
go on with defaults. And
so then I realized, you know, after I realized the whole resistance technique, but just to add to your listeners that it can be anything from food to getting on Facebook 20 times a day, you know, to drinking, to anything. I mean, we all have crazy resistance techniques. Sometimes I find myself over cleaning, you know, that kind of jazz. So then I started thinking, well, God, there's others. I just started bumping into more consciousness and awareness around what do I do, or what did I do in the past, and do I still find myself doing sometimes, but I'm aware of it now, that's the difference, that is trying to keep me away from feeling. And another thing I discovered was what I call our default, and that is our go-to energy. It's like our knee-jerk reaction, what we think first without really feeling genuinely into that moment. It's like we're borrowing our feelings and responses to past experiences, from past experiences, the recycled responses now, that we had at one time or several times over and over and over, and there are layers of them with different experiences. And so now when anytime we feel anything that's even close to it, it's like that game Operation, you know, when you hit the corners, it's almost like we feel anything close to that particular emotion, then we just go, oh, I felt this way in the past. And maybe we don't think that consciously, but it's our knee-jerk reaction unconsciously. So I just got more awareness around what are my defaults and how can I bring awareness around that in my moments of life, so I'm not living my life from default, because that's not really living my life. That's repeating my life, right?
Absolutely.
Over and over.
And usually with failure, because many of the patterns of our childhood and the ways we responded to things were not with the maturity that we have now. So when we sometimes feel something painful, or we're not realizing we've been through this before, and we don't have to approach it the way we used to when we were children. We can have a whole nother approach, or we can simply disengage, see the red flag, see that it's not going to serve us well, and just don't engage and take ourselves out of the energy and the way of reaction. Yeah, that's wonderful. Now, how can we use all that we're talking about here and what we've learned to help the next generation? And that's a very important question.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the old, by, you know, leading through example, you know, extending ourselves, you know, in such a conscious way, in a daily way, that we actually lead by example. That's so powerful to me. I know that's been said over and over, but we got it. Not only is embracing it ourselves, but it's showing, you know, the younger generation and all those else around us to embrace it without, you know, being teachy and telling them, but taking the time to be present with our feelings and express them and directly sharing them with other people. Even if it's just, say an example is if you're at an ice cream store and you see a kid, you know, just being present instead of going about your day, stopping. You don't have to sit there and go goo goo gaga, but you can say, hi, how are you today? And if they say, oh, I stubbed my toe or whatever, and then just go, oh, that probably really hurt, huh? I mean, taking moments like that to lead by example, however small they may seem
They're
to
very
an
valuable.
Outside source.
So I want to thank you, Tara Janelle, for sharing your wonderfully unique ideas and special terminology, discovering soul life and the amazing power that this discovery may bring readers to refine and help in promoting a better quality of life, which will enhance their health, prosperity, relationships, and it's going to move one's energy on their true path to soul courage and forward in true self-awareness and authenticity. To purchase this book, go to soulcourage.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Tara Janelle has introduced us to several thoughtful, creative words: solitude, soul rendering, socialize. And when these terms are understood, it leads us to know the fabulous breadth of soul life and the possibilities for expansion and evolution. And that's what we were born to discover. No matter what age it is when we discover it, that's what our life's about. We can discover that unique inner soul wisdom that affects us both energetically and physically and move us to have greater compassion for ourselves and others. Tara Janelle has written, However, you come to your life's most important realization that life was created for us to complete the soul's agenda and not simply the agenda of the body or mind. Once embraced, you are forever changed. Tara Janelle and I would have you become part of a courageous soul movement to embrace others individually, honestly, wholesomely, and with love, and to help others remember, as you already do, that we are spiritual beings having a physical life, and we are just souls who are reuniting again and again in the truth of what? Eternal love and life. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear leaders in the metaphysical, psychological, medical, educational, theological, and scientific communities discuss ways to find and utilize our greatest spiritual gift, the gift of life and the gift of soul. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.